Right before when I was grabbing my mic, we tested the batteries, and Matthew told me I had 3 or 4 hours of good battery, so hope you guys are ready to stick around for a while. Just kidding. Would you guys pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the reason that we're here tonight. A chance to celebrate your son's birth. We ask that you would just speak to us tonight, Lord. Remind us once again why we are here. In your name we pray. Amen. Do you ever feel like we miss the whole point of Christmas? I know sometimes I do. There are so many good things going on at this time of year. And there's a lot of good stuff that comes out of Christmas. We get together with family. There's parties to go to with friends and coworkers, which is not always a good thing. We get to give gifts to one another. There's a lot of good stuff. But there's a lot of things that can help, that can kind of make us lose our focus and our perspective. And we can get distracted. And there's this sense of love, this sense of awe, this sense of wonder that sometimes we miss. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus, a celebration of his birth, a celebration of the good news of salvation that he brought. And sometimes we get distracted and we forget about that. We should be awed by how much God loves us. It's this type of love that caused the creator of the universe, the creator of every fish in the sea, of every drop of water in the ocean, of every bird in the sky, every animal on the planet, every star in the sky, that he has for us. That love, he created all of that, and yet he loves us. And he chose us. And I want to try to recapture that sense of awe tonight by looking at the shepherds and not just what they experienced that night, but how they responded. So we're just going to watch a quick video to help us just kind of get a little bit of the shepherd's perspective.
It was a night like any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like it before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a lot of excitement out there in the pasture. But that angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sam, you've been out in that pasture just a little bit too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And I was like, "Too late." And then the angel said, no, I wrote it down. I need to get this right. Hold on. Okay. The angel said, milk, bread. No, that's my grocery list. Then the angel said, "I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "He's lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him." Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and then one of the shepherds, I think it was Steve, he's like, "Hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem." So we hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I'll tell you, I was a different man after that. God chose me. And nobody's ever chosen me for anything. I'll never forget what that angel said, though. The angel said, "I bring good news to all people. that means you too.
While I was putting together the sermon for tonight and watching the video, I kind of just discovered that this is one of my favorite perspectives of the Christmas story. And I think it's because I find that I can relate more to what the shepherds experienced than all the crazy supernatural stuff that, you know, doesn't seem as real. It was real. But this is just more, see, for me, it's something that I can identify with. I don't know if that's true for you or not, but so we're going to be talking about the shepherds tonight, and I want you to think about who shepherds in general are. They were outcasts. They're people that everyone overlooked, and if they didn't overlook them, it's because they were making fun of them for smelling like sheep or not being dressed very nice. They just weren't high up in society. You know, a shepherd spent day and night with sheep. Not people, maybe a few other shepherds, but mostly sheep. And each day, they would get up early, they would lead the sheep out of the fold and out to a field where they could eat. They would spend all day standing there watching the sheep eat, making sure that none of them went astray, and if any of them did, they would go after them, find them, bring them back. Sheep need water all the time, so you're constantly having to move and find a running stream or maybe a well dug in the wilderness or something. But that's their day. Then they take them back to the fold at night, count them to reassure yourself none of them are gone. And the work doesn't end just because the sun goes down. You get to stay up and keep an eye and make sure that no beasts or thieves or anything come and get the sheep. They got to protect them. Watch out for them. It's their livelihood. So they don't get to spend a lot of time with other people. Their days are pretty much the same every day. You know? But then something amazing happens. Let's look in Luke chapter 2. We read it earlier. We're just going to kind of go through just the sections that we're talking about. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, they say, "And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" So here's this group of guys who hardly see any excitement. He said that in the video. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, kind of the same thing. Not a whole lot changes. And here they are sitting in a field, probably in and out of sleep, kind of doing that like nodding thing, trying to stay awake to, or maybe one of them's awake and some of them are sleeping, kind of taking turns. And then all of a sudden, they see this angel of the Lord appear. Now, I want you to try to imagine an angel for a minute. What does one look like? I know a lot of times we hear cherubim and seraphim, and we think of these little naked angels that like float around God's head. Maybe with a little bow and arrow or something. But in scriptures, angels are warriors. They wore armor. They had swords. Think about that angel you saw in some Christmas pageant at some point in your life and give it a sword. All right, that makes it a lot scarier. Kind of helps me understand why why the shepherds might have been afraid. The King James Version says that they were sore afraid. It's not a literal translation, but basically it means they were scared so much it hurt. That's pretty afraid. And I imagine if angels wearing armor and a sword show up, I might be so afraid it hurts too. And then the first thing he says is, do not be afraid. Too late. Already afraid. But the angels had their attention. They had them scared, speechless. Nobody was saying anything. They were listening. And then they deliver a message about probably the most important event to ever happen. Savior being born. That must have been one of the most overwhelming experiences anyone has ever had. And then the heavens opened up and a whole army of these angels with swords start singing praise to God like they have never heard before. If it was overwhelming before, now it's really overwhelming. And that whole do not be afraid thing is probably out the window. But what I find to be one of the most amazing things about this part of the Christmas story is not what they experienced, but how they responded, what they did after it happened. Verses 15 and 16 say, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Okay, they were just half asleep in the field, kind of nodding in and out. Maybe some of them were completely asleep. If it were me, I would find it relatively easy to convince myself it didn't actually happen. That had to be a dream. I'm losing it. But not these guys. They responded. Maybe it was Steve who said it. I don't know. But they decided to go. They put aside their list of everything they had to do. Their livelihood was in that field. And they hurried off. They left it all in the field to go see what these angels were talking about. Is that our response? When God gives us a word, when He encounters us, when He tells us something to do, do we just drop everything and go and do it? Do we respond in faith, knowing that God is doing something and He wants us to be a part of it? The shepherds heard the angels. They heard what they had to say, and they believed it. You know how I know they believed it? Because they went. You didn't hear them saying, YouTube, go check it out. See if this is legit. Come back and tell us, and then maybe we'll go. No, they dropped everything and they went. They hurried off, is what it said. You know, it's the same way with everybody who responds to the good news, who responds to what God is doing. Do we drop everything and follow Him like we should? Abraham did. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Obeyed and went, just like the shepherds. All right, he told me where to go, I'm going. I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I'm going. Are we believing with our actions, like the shepherds, like Abraham? Are we putting faith in God? When they got to Bethlehem, they had to have been super surprised to find that they were the only ones there. I mean, they probably expected there to be a pretty big crowd, that they might get to be a part of the crowd, but they wouldn't actually get to be up close and see the baby. And So when they got there and there was no one else there, they were probably like, what's going on? And then another, you know, shock factor. I know the angel kind of told them that the baby would be in a feeding trough, but they'll probably get there and they're like, these are not the best conditions for something so important. I feel like he should be somewhere else. They probably wondered that. You know, they probably wondered if we knew, if they told us, they had to have told somebody else. I mean, we're not that important. We just sit in a field all day. Why us? Why just us? I don't know if you've ever really thought about it. I hadn't really much until this week. But God didn't tell a whole lot of people what was going on here. You know, it's this huge event, one of the biggest things ever. And he told a little less than a dozen people outside of Mary and Joseph, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth knew, and then some band of shepherds who lived nearby and a handful of foreigners who we never heard from again. Those are the people that God told that his son was coming. This huge, important night, he didn't tell any world leaders, didn't clue in any of the religious leaders, found themselves to be super important. But God chose the shepherds to be in this elite group of people who knew such a huge message. Why would he choose shepherds? And I think that question rings home because I think we often ask, why does he choose me? I'm not that important. But it's not for us to question. When God calls, we're supposed to put our belief into action, put our faith in God, and just obey and go. Like the shepherds did. I'm sure the shepherds pondered that question. Why us? Why did he choose us? But they didn't let it stop them. Because after they got there, and they were the only ones there, and they got to witness this second amazing thing of the night, they followed up their response by going out and responding again. Because the next thing they did was go tell people about what they just saw. They couldn't hold it in. They're like, we got to tell everybody about this. And so, Luke chapter 2, 17 through 20. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There was a word in there. It was amazed. That word means wonder at or marvel. You know, people were amazed at the things that were being told to them. And the shepherds were amazed. And they took that and they shared it with other people who could then be amazed by this, by the work of God. And they sort of got another dose of amazement as they get to just witness people responding to it. You know what I mean? Like you tell somebody some really good news and you almost get like more excited about it because they're getting excited about it. That's kind of what they were experiencing here. You know, they got to experience the awe and wonder all over again through the people they were telling. You know, being a witness is telling people about what we've seen, what we know, what we believe. But it started with going. They went first. So they believed with their actions, and then they believed with their words. We have to believe with our words too. Are we telling people about what we've seen, what we've experienced, what we heard, like the shepherds were? Are we telling them about what we know to be true, what we believe in? Time had to move on, though. They still had sheep to shepherd, work to do. I'm sure at some point that sense of amazement began to wear off a little bit. So, kind of brings the question, what were they like a couple years later, or even a couple decades later, these men who experienced such a wonderful thing? When the angel told them that this was the Messiah, they probably thought, just like everybody else did, that this Messiah was going to be the one to free them from Rome. But after all, you know, as far as we know, Jesus never went back to Bethlehem. And so maybe these shepherds never encountered him. I don't know if they ever made the connection that the Jesus that was walking around healing people, performing miracles and preaching and teaching was the same baby that they saw that night. There's a chance maybe they just thought that he didn't make it through Herod's little problem where he was taking out the babies. Maybe they thought he didn't make it. But it was such a tremendous experience when it happened. But as time went on, it became confusing a little bit. Now, how did other people continue to react to them? Did they think they were a little crazy, maybe? Did they think they were making stuff up? Did people become critical of them? Now, maybe they asked, why would God open up the heavens just to you? Not to anybody else, just to you. Why didn't he include any priests or rabbis in that? You know, maybe people said, ooh, maybe these guys had a little too much to drink that night. Maybe they got a little loopy staying up all night around the campfire. Maybe they just made it up to get some attention. So time went on. And as people were skeptical of their story, maybe they started to wonder too. Who knows? Now, maybe somehow their emotions just ran away with them that night. But I wonder how many of us have had such an encounter with God. You know, maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it wasn't a long time ago. Maybe it was recently. But the emotions were vivid. It was just such an amazing experience where we're encountering God. As we tried to share the experience with other people, you know, we found that they were kind of apathetic about what happened. Yeah, that's cool. Okay. That's great. And we kind of began to wonder if it wasn't a result of overwrought emotions or just all the troubles we were facing at that time in our lives. You know, maybe we feel like the shepherds did years after their experience. I don't know if they felt like this or not, but maybe they were a little confused. Maybe sometimes even wishing it hadn't happened because of all the trouble it's caused them since. Maybe just wishing that there was a way that they could explain it to people in which they would understand it. Maybe you wish you could feel a little bit of that experience again. I mean, how awesome would it be if every night could be like that awesome night in Bethlehem? But for all the common days, we need to be aware that God does break into humanity. And he does do amazing things. He breaks into our individual lives. And it might be that most days are common. But we need to expect the days where the uncommon happens, where we're face to face with God and what he is trying to do in the world. We need to live like we are walking in God's mysterious presence where anything can happen. Anything. Angels breaking out in song in the middle of the sky. We need to live in the excitement of God's plan that things can be amazing. We can have things happen that knock us out of our routine. that thrust us into just this new dimension of awe and wonder of God. You know, that's how we need to approach every single day. Sometimes as we encounter God, you know, there are very genuine, very warm experiences. You know, God is exceedingly real and He's really close to us. And He wants to be there. But between those nights in Bethlehem, there are unremarkable days. And these are the times when we have to live by faith. And where we need to sing out what we know to be true. You know, the things that we heard from God's word and the promises, they're just as real now as they were then when you encountered God. Nothing has changed. It doesn't make the experience any less real. We just want to shout sometimes that God has broken into our common lives, our ordinary lives, with this extraordinary gift of Jesus Christ and eternal life. That's the way it was 2,000 years ago, and that's the way that it still is today. So I just want to challenge you guys this Christmas to try to recapture that sense of awe, that sense of faith and belief, by doing and saying what God is asking you to do. We recapture that awe by living in faith. Let's pray. Lord God, just thank you so much for those uncommon times where we really encounter you. And Lord, we pray that you would carry us through the uncommon times by faith, knowing that you are doing something and you are completely capable of extraordinary things, Lord. Help us to obey in the common and the uncommon days. Lord, just help us to recapture that sense of awe that you deserve this Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen.